We are reaching out to Brad Friedman, of course, the man behind the Brad blog at bradblog.com. Dear friend of mine who agreed to go on very little sleep last night so he can join me this morning. Hey there, have you had your coffee yet?
Sleep? What sleep?
No, I saw you tweeted at like 5:20 in the morning, well, Eastern time anyway, and it's now 11:29 here, so thank you for waking up early for us.
My pleasure. Well, you know, on these election nights, it's my responsibility out here on the West Coast to stay up till the bitter end and collect whatever information that can be collected at that hour. And there was still a lot coming in last night.
Well, and I fell asleep right around 12:30, and the last I heard was that the Catherine Harris of Wisconsin was not going to release the numbers from Waukesha County until sometime today. But I guess then she changed her mind. What happened there?
She did change her mind, and I couldn't tell you exactly. Well, actually, let me clarify that. What I had heard was that it was going to be an hour or something like that before she ended up releasing her numbers. Now,
right.
All night long, Kathy Nicholas had just one of 11 counting units up, the results from one of 11 counting units, for a total of, I believe it was 526 votes in the first 3 or 4 hours after the polls had closed. Now, of course, she has every reason, in theory, to want to be very careful before posting any numbers on election night, given her history, her long history and her recent history, of course, in the U.S. Supreme Court race.
Right.
When she forgot to release some 14,000 votes on election night. So, it could be argued she was being very careful. Then the Democrats actually came out with a pretty extraordinary charge. The head of the Wisconsin State Democrats, Mike Tate, said that they believed she was sitting on votes and that she was quote-unquote tampering with the votes in Waukesha County. And, suggesting that they were going to call for an investigation and everything else. Now, frankly, when I saw that and when I saw that they had absolutely no evidence for their claim, I was kind of concerned that they would make such a serious charge, even against Kathy Nicholas, without having any evidence to back
right,
it up.
Right.
Nonetheless, and I can tell you what happened there eventually, but before that, that seems to have shaken the bushes at least a little bit, in that Kathy Nicholas ended up then releasing the bulk of the results, nine more counting units. So she had a total of 10 out of 11 up there. And when she did, those results ended up flipping the election results to that point,
yeah,
from the Democrat to the Republican.
Mm-hmm.
That's not entirely a surprise, in that Waukesha County is a very Republican county, and the numbers, I haven't gotten to yet look too close or to compare them to previous races, but, you know, in previous races in Waukesha County as a whole, Republicans tend to win something like 75-25.
Right.
And those were essentially the numbers that she released when she released those nine more counting units. I then talked to her, excuse me, late last night.
I saw that. You called her and she answered the phone. She took your call.
She actually, I called the Waukesha County office and she picked up and
wow,
said hello.
She had nothing more important to do than answer phones. Okay.
So at the moment that I called her, I said, well, what is the holdup in that last counting unit? And she said, oh, they hadn't been able to count absentee ballots during the day, and so they're just doing it now. I just received the numbers by fax, and I'm just posting them now to the web. And a few minutes later, indeed, she did have those numbers up. Her explanation about the absentee ballots does not necessarily make a lot of sense, because it was coming in from the village of Menominee Falls, where they had many more wards that she had already posted the results for. So I'm not sure why absentee ballots were just a problem in that one counting unit. But that's what she had to say, at least late last night. And then by the time the night was over, the state Democrats, Mike Tate, had put out a statement that, we're retracting our charges of tampering. For now, we're just going to say it was a close race, and gosh, it looks like we didn't get that last seat after all. So, you know, which I thought was pretty lame. You don't charge. And you know, Nicole, that you and I have talked about concerns about elections for
years.
Yes. But, I don't go out and charge that someone has committed election fraud or election tampering unless there is damn good evidence
exactly.
to back it up.
Exactly. Now, Brad Friedman, though, there is evidence that Kathy Nicholas really did something. Total, if she wasn't committing fraud, then she should be guilty of gross negligence anyway with her handling of the votes in Waukesha County in the Supreme Court race with Prosser and Kloppenburg. The fact that, as you mentioned before, days later she finds 14,000 votes on her personal computer, has there ever been any Department of Justice investigation into that or anything? I mean, have they pursued that?
There is no Department of Justice investigation, at least that I know about, and even though Representative Tammy Baldwin has asked for it,
that's right,
for such an investigation, I'm not sure that the feds actually have jurisdiction there because that was a state Supreme Court race. I could be wrong. I'm not a legal expert in that matter, but I'm not sure what the jurisdiction would be for the feds to come into a state Supreme Court race, especially in an area that I do not believe is covered by the Voting Rights Act. If it was an area covered by the Voting Rights Act of 1965, the DOJ would certainly have jurisdiction to do that. Yeah. I don't know that they do here. However, when the Supreme Court numbers, when that disaster came about back in April and May, Joanne Kloppenburg, who sort of got screwed by the whole thing, she asked for a special investigator to be appointed because the state's Government Accountability Board is very, very close with the election clerks, including election clerks like Kathy Nicholas, and she didn't trust that they could carry out an investigation impartially, so she asked for a special investigator, and indeed one has been appointed to that case. According to Kloppenburg's campaign. So, in theory, a special investigator is looking into Kathy Nicholas, into that election, into her questions about her past, shall we say. So perhaps there will be something coming forward in the future from the independent investigator who was a former Dane County prosecutor, as I recall, a former Dane County DA up there in Wisconsin. So we'll see. There may be more on Kathy Nicholas coming in the future. But
well, that's the whole thing. When I heard that there was just some problem with one of the counties, immediately in my head I'm thinking it's Waukesha County, it's Kathy Nicholas, the Catherine Harris of Wisconsin, and sure enough it was. And I'm sorry, why that doesn't send up red flags. Now I can understand why the Democratic Party in Wisconsin automatically threw up some red flags. Maybe they overstepped, on their charges, which, I'm sorry, not very bright, but when somebody there's irregularities with an official in one race and then there's any type of hint at a problem in the next one, I think this calls for some sort of investigation.
Well, it certainly does, and it certainly did throw up some red flags. Too little, too late. However, as I was watching the results coming in last night, it was remarkable. At some point, folks started turning to Waukesha County and Kathy Nicholas.
Mm-hmm.
And this was including on MSNBC where, John Nichols from The Nation and Ed Schultz and Rachel Maddow all of a sudden started talking about Kathy Nicholas and Waukesha County and the problems in the past. Now, these guys, and they're great. I love them. However, they have not spent a lot of time on what happened
no,
in Waukesha County.
They have not. They really have not.
Yeah, no, they haven't. And, I have, certainly, over at Bradlog, as you know, covered that in detail, the entire recount. It was an absolute disaster. Kathy Nicholas's work was shameful. The election system in Wisconsin, frankly, is shameful, the way it works across the entire state. They use paper ballots for most of the state, but they're all counted by almost all of them are counted by computers, optical scan computers, Hello. With not a single one of those votes actually examined by human beings after it's been counted by the op scan machine. Whatever mm-hmm. the computers tell you on election night is by and large the results of the election, whether they are right or wrong. And that's something I've been screaming about certainly in Wisconsin, but, you know, all across the nation now for many years. And all of a sudden, it looked like that might be a very serious concern last night in Wisconsin. So they start talking about it late night in the results as those are coming in. I'm delighted they're talking about it, yeah. but it's, I'm sorry to say, it's a little too little, a little too late when you're suddenly asking these questions on election night for a very important election like, you know, like that. You have to take action on these concerns
before.
Now.
Right.
You
so
know,
why
and,
did...
and you don't wait until, you know, 2012 election night of the presidential race and wonder, gosh, you know, what happened? Why did these votes all of a sudden flip in X county or Y mm-hmm. state, you know?
Well, and Brad Friedman is with us from the Brad Blog. He is the authority on election fraud and the problems with, you know, our electronic voting machines in this country and the way we count our votes, which is mostly pretty much exclusively done by computers with no hand counting provisions. For instance, here in Florida, you know, we finally got paper ballots. But they're optical scan, and there's no provision for a hand recount. I mean, you know, so what's the point? So Brad's been covering this stuff for years and years and years, and but you know, to what end? We still have companies. Now, Diebold was bought out by ES&S or the other way around, but whoever owns, you know, whoever sells these electronic voting machines to the state retains their proprietary knowledge so that even the state who now owns these machines don't have access to the inner workings. Do I have that right?
Yeah, pretty much. And you know, even if they did, even if, you know, because a lot of people argue, oh, well, these should be open source machines, they shouldn't be proprietary, and I certainly agree with that. I mean, if you're going to use computers in an election, they should certainly be open source, so that, you know, people can try at least to examine the source code. Not that that's any guarantee that's the exact actual code that's used on election day, but even if you have open source, you're counting inside the computer. The computer is, you know, telling you what that ballot says or doesn't say. And if you simply want to trust that computer, that it is doing it correctly, that it is reporting the results correctly, that it's not malfunctioning in any way, that it hasn't been gamed in any way, well, okay, that's up to you. I think we ought to be able to oversee our own democracy. We ought to be able to count our own ballots, so that we can actually have some confidence in what the results are. You know, you got people now looking at this race last night. They are going to be wondering, and they certainly were last night, oh gosh, you know, can we trust these results? Can we trust Kathy Nicholas? Now, if you're dumb enough to trust Kathy Nicholas for anything, or, by the way, any election official in the country, then, you know, you deserve what you get.
Yep,
our system
right.
is not built on trust. It's built on checks and balances. And they knew weeks ago, months ago, going into this election, that they were going to have to trust in the results reported by people like Kathy Nicholas. And they have done absolutely nothing about it. And this includes folks in the news media who haven't even reported these very real facts. So if you don't like having to trust these crazy election officials for your election results, well, either too bad or do something about it, because that's about where we are right now in this country.
You know, that makes sense. But, Brad, so I guess the question is, we need to figure out if, you know, we're talking about elections. They are what our democracy is based on, fair and free elections, which, you know, obviously part of the Wisconsin agenda is to diminish those rights, you know, with their
yeah.
new voter ID law, everything they can, voter suppression laws, which are being pushed by the ALEC agenda in every state with Republican governors. You would think that the Department of Justice would do whatever they could to make sure that our elections were fair. And it should fall under the purveyance of the federal government because these are elections. They should be sacrosanct. They should be beyond reproach. And we should have the full power of the Justice Department behind it. If we don't, then we've got a problem in this. Well, we know we have a problem in the system, but we've got an even bigger problem in the system.
And we certainly have a problem at the Justice Department.
Yes, we do.
But the, you know, the Constitution essentially gives elections to each state to handle largely as they see fit. And that began to change again with the Voting Rights Act of 1965, where all of a sudden they were able to assert some federal jurisdiction into elections because you had these areas of the country, you know, that had for so long racially discriminated, and this once and for all finally put the feds into some areas of the country to sort of help oversee elections. But the feds are not everywhere when it comes to elections. And, you know, frankly, again, you can argue whether they should or shouldn't be, but the fact is, even if they were there, then this means you rely on whoever happens to be in the DOJ. I'm going to suggest a better way. Let's rely on we, the people, mm-hmm. for our own self-governance to be able to oversee our own elections. And to be able to oversee our own elections, we actually have to be able to see what is on the ballots in our elections. That seems to me to be where people need to go, where they need to start, what they need to work for, no matter what the federal government does or doesn't do, because you're not always going to have a friendly DOJ,
yes,
even when you've got a Democrat in office, apparently, you know.
I know.
So you can't rely on any other officials, any elected officials, any DOJ officials. We need to have transparency in our elections. Look, we know, and, you know, and there's some other points we can talk about on this subject, because we know that bad guys will do everything they can to game these elections in any way that they can, and we saw this in the run-up to yesterday's election with all kinds of dirty tricks going on by groups, outside groups in Wisconsin. We saw Waukesha exit polls in Waukesha County, Kathy Nicholas's Waukesha County. That was the only place yesterday where exit pollers from the Election Defense Alliance were actually blocked from carrying out their exit polls. I'm sure that's just another coincidence, but these exit polls, you know, right now are one of the only ways that we can gauge what actually went on at those polls in Wisconsin and elsewhere to make sure that they were on the up and up.
But, Brad Friedman, now let's talk about the exit polls, for instance, in Ohio in 2004. Let's talk about the exit polls in all those, in the last couple of presidential elections. Well, not the last one, but, when George Bush won his two, that showed the opposite, you know, they're telling us, well, the exit polls were wrong. Well, exit polls aren't wrong.
Yeah,
because you're asking people who are coming out from voting how they voted. Exit polls are not wrong, yet with George Bush in 2004, we were told, oh, the exit polls were wrong. No, maybe the computers counting them were fucked with.
Right. Well, and guess what? When that happened, and when we had all of those red flags occurring in Ohio that were first sent up by those exit polls, you know, that's one of the main things that told us something is amiss here in Ohio in 2004 and in a bunch of other states that year. That was the red flag. Of course, a month or so later, the very same exit polling company found almost identical results where the challenger won the exit polls, but the incumbent ended up winning in the result.
Right.
But that was in Ukraine. And when it happened in Ukraine, of course, George Bush and Colin Powell, you know, went crazy saying that, oh, these exit polls, that's a sign of fraud. But back here in the United States, the exit polls must be wrong. It wasn't fraud. The exit polls themselves were wrong. And people made some noise in Ohio, but by and large, the bulk of the country just went on with their business and said, oh, well, I guess we lost. I guess that dastardly George W. Bush got us again, and very little action was actually taken to change the system.
Well, Brad Friedman, how does the United Nations get involved? I know they often send out a committee to observe elections when they consider, it's usually in third world countries, to make sure the elections are fair. How do we get them here?
Really good question, because they have actually tried to monitor in various places here. Back in 2004, I believe that they wanted to monitor in Ohio, and J. Kenneth Blackwell, the Republican Secretary of State in Ohio at the time, would not allow them. If you stay the hell out of our elections. In cases like the Jimmy Carter Center, they observe elections all over the world. But he has said that the United States wouldn't even qualify to be overseen by his center, because our system is so decentralized and not standardized and everything else that it essentially wouldn't even meet the standards of an election that they would be interested or able to monitor. But that's how bad our system actually is in this country. So, people are always looking for a silver bullet here when it comes to elections, and there really isn't one, because the system is so decentralized. People are going to have to, in state by state and even county by county, if they can't get the feds to do anything about it, just get in there and fight like hell for transparency. Work with election officials, whether you hate them, trust them or not. You've got to work with election officials and say, look, can we do a hand-counted paper ballot pilot program in this upcoming election, this school board election that's coming up? There's only, can we count five of the precincts by hand, and at the polling place? We can still do it by machine. We can compare the numbers at the end of the night, but let's start gathering data on how hand-counting paper ballots work at the precinct. How long it takes, how accurate it is, all of these things, and start putting together data to make the case that this is what we need to do if we want to have transparent democracy in this country. But, nobody's going to fly down from on high and wave a wand and make that happen across these United States. The folks in New Hampshire are working like hell for that and protecting the 40% of the towns in that state that do count exactly like that on election night, where the whole entire community turns out to oversee the counting and to participate and volunteer in the counting of ballots, the hand counting of ballots in front of everybody, in front of the video cameras, in front of all political parties, and they post those results at the polling place before those paper ballots move anywhere. That's the sort of effort we need.
Now,
where
does that happen?
That happens in about 40% of New Hampshire.
Wow.
And by the way, in many of those jurisdictions, one of the things that people, one of the red herrings people put forward about hand counting is they say, oh, well, we can't do that. That will take too long, and America needs to have its results in, by the evening news, 11 o'clock each night. Well, in truth, a lot of those towns where they count by hand come in before the Diebold machine-counted precincts out there in New Hampshire.
Right, and if you do it at each polling place, and then each polling place, that's not going to take too long, and then they're all put on a centralized, spreadsheet. I mean, it would work.
If you look at especially rates like last night, I mean, it was amazing. You only had one race on each ballot. Counting the ballots, is a matter of taking them out of the ballot box in front of everybody and basically separating them into two stacks. One, for the Republican, one for the Democrat. It doesn't, this is not rocket science. And the fact that it took about four hours or so for Kathy Nicholas to even have, about 500
right.
votes posted, I'm pretty sure you alone could have counted 1,000 votes in an hour if all it was a matter of separating the R's from the D's and stacking them on a table, for crying out loud.
Exactly. That's all it would take. So, Brad Friedman, you have been the go-to guy on this issue. Somebody in the chat room just asked, why don't we have a national movement to get behind you. And, you know, we've been talking about this for years, obviously, you more than anybody else. And yet, you mentioned even MSNBC has not really picked up on it. So, and here in Florida, for instance, you and I have both spoken with Ion Sancho, who is the elections supervisor in Leon County, Florida, which is Tallahassee, which is the state capital. And he has been the most outspoken critic of our election system here in this country, and yet still we're not gaining any traction. I guess everything is local. Everything has to start from the bottom up.
I think it does. I'm not going to, by the way, go so far as to say we're not gaining any traction. We have been, it really has been a David versus Goliath fight over the years. And, you know, had those of us out fighting this fight not been doing what we were doing, I suspect the entire nation would now be, the plan was, in any case, for the entire nation right now to be casting every single vote on 100% unverifiable touchscreen voting machines.
You're right. Yep, and we fought back against that. We had those here in Florida, and now we've got the paper ballots. Now we just have to get a provision to hand count them.
To actually bother to count them. And by the way, there is still count. They still vote on those touchscreen, 100% unverifiable touchscreens in some 20 to 30% of the country. That's certainly plenty to, let's say, flip a presidential election next year with not a damn thing you can do about it, because they are completely unverifiable.
Right.
But, you know, we have made inroads. Like I say, it is a tough fight. It's certainly not enough. But, you know, whoever was asking in the chat room about a national movement to make something change, a national movement, a local movement, a state movement, they all sound good.
A vowel movement.
I nominate whoever said that in the chat room to be the leader.
I'll go along with you there, and I can't find it. All right. So take that as a challenge there. Let's do it. I mean, write to, the local newspapers, get on this. And always a great resource is bradblog.com. You can follow Brad on Twitter @thebradblog, because someone else has Brad Blog.
Yeah, they do, actually, and he gets really mad when somebody tries to reach me and writes to Brad Blog on Twitter. So it is the Brad Blog on Twitter.
Yeah, the Brad Blog on Twitter. Hold on. Yes, it's W. Smith V. in the chat room, and he says he will start today.
Superb. That's exactly, that is exactly what it's going to take. And, you know, the fight is absolutely brutal. It is very much like whack-a-mole. We had to whack back the touchscreens. Now they're looking for vote by mail and internet voting. They're now adding the polling place photo ID restrictions everywhere. Yes, the bad guys are gaining a foothold. The good guys are up against it. And we need to start yelling and screaming and making noise and really taking action, taking local action to make something happen and holding folks accountable, even folks that, your listeners may like, Rachel Maddow, Ed Schultz. Call on them to take action, to report what's going on before election night when things go wrong and everybody's scratching their head and going, oh, yeah, there is that Kathy Nicholas lady, that could be a problem. Hello?
Hello.
We knew this months ago. You know, what are you going to do about it in preparation for an election before you get to election day? That's the question.
I hear you. Brad Friedman, we've only got like a minute left, but I was remiss. I'm for Earth asked me to ask you about chain of custody.
We love 4 Earth. Hey,
yes.
The chain of custody in Waukesha and in Wisconsin is what it was. It has not changed. Essentially, they count those ballots by OpScan at the polling place. They then send them to the county clerk, like Kathy Nicholas. And if anybody asks for a quote-unquote recount, weeks later, they may be able to recount those paper ballots after they've been in the possession of Kathy Nicholas for 3 or 4 weeks.
Hello.
That's why you need to get it right on election night.
Exactly. Brad Friedman, you are awesome, and a special extra thank you for waking up early, if you got to sleep at all last night, for
coming
on. My pleasure. I know. I was just lamenting about the fact the other day that you know, you don't come on my show anymore because since I moved to this time. So on an important day like this, though, you come through for us. So thank you again.
Happy to do it, Nicole.
All right. I'll talk to you soon. Go back to
school. Bye, Darren.
Bye. Once again, Brad Friedman, The Brad Blog on Twitter and bradblog.com. As always, thank you for listening. And we'll do it again tomorrow. Big Twitter action tomorrow for dollarsordemocracy.com. We'll talk about it then. And John Fugelsang to wrap up the week, I think. Whatever. We'll be here. Thanks for listening. I'm Nicole Sandler, radio or not.